Hello, my oh, God. No. Why would you sorry. Ruin my
I
intro
meant,
like this?
I fucked it. No, it's okay.
All right. Well,
the
that's the intro.
Of swim.
I just
hello, everyone.
Welcome to the Artifact Podcast, episode 10, I believe. I'm joined by Swim, Rob, and Charmer. We were supposed to be joined in addition by Panda, but he dropped out. And then once upon seeing Panda drop out, Slacks also dropped out because they're both piles of garbage. How's everybody doing today?
I'm hot garbage. That's how I feel right now. Good. Like a pile of hot garbage.
Swim, how
I feel...
about you?
Oh, me.
Not
oh,
Charmer
oh.
yet. It's Swim first.
I'm
best for last, Charmer.
You know, I'm just chilling, relax, keeping great. It cool. A few days off stream, it's great.
That's good. And Charmer, how about you, my friend?
I feel only slightly marginally worse than Rob.
Good, great to hear. I do want to make a quick announcement before we get started. Swim is looking for a roommate in his new
yes.
Gamer house. If that's what you want to call it. If you guys
yeah.
want to send applications, be sure to follow him at Swim Strim. If you walk around with your shirt off, that's a big plus.
I actually, right? I have a Google Sheets form I've been kind of sending out to people. If you want to like fill it out, submit it, I'll send you a copy. That's
wow.
only phase one, though. If you kind of make it past there, we go to the formal interview.
Ooh, do I even... Do I even need to fill it out, though, because I'm a sociopath that also takes his shirt off?
Yeah, but you also bring with you a whole
Wait,
family. So.
You took your shirt off?
I did.
In your honor.
Dude, he carried the torch.
Yes. So, literally because Suns fan seems to not ever realize that I'm like there or even existing, like would routinely just go, where's Charmer all the time when I'm standing right next to him.
It's true.
At the end, he says, you're the new Swim. We can never find you when we need to find you. And I said, fuck you. If I'm going to be the new Swim, then that means I'm taking my shirt off. And so I took it off and I was going to wear it the whole way home. But the taxi driver literally wouldn't leave till I put it on. And I quote, because he didn't want problems with the police.
Yeah,
so that means that my body is somehow more offensive and strange than Swim's.
So here's my trick. When we were on the bus, I had my shirt on when I got on the bus.
Oh.
And then once they started driving, that's when I popped it off.
There's the naked truth. It comes yeah. out. It's not just the Ukrainian women that get excited by Derek. It's also the police. They just can't help themselves. They see a wild Charmer running around with his abs and stuff, whatever he has under there.
That's very impressive. I was quite...
Too much.
I was missing Swim until the shirt came off, and then it felt like Ukraine again. You know, it felt really
yes.
good to be back. So what I want to talk about first is obviously the tournament, which will take up maybe 80% of this podcast. The Artifact Mighty, I didn't even know it was called the Artifact Mighty Triad Agility Tournament.
MT
it's a very, very long name. Of course, it's the second leg of a three-leg tripod, if you will, tournament series from WePlay.
You could call it a triad, dude.
A tripod just sounds better. Let's be real.
Yes, the triad.
I want to go through each. We'll go with Swim last since he was playing. I want to see what everybody's experience was like with Kiev. I will start just briefly. The only complaint I had last time from WePlay, because their production, everything's amazing, was Media Day was a disaster the first time around. It felt like torture almost. Of course, I am quite sensitive to these, you know, these types of matters, but yes, to torture, especially very low threshold for pain. This media day was far better. It was definitely a kind of a weird theme, but it was only a few hours of work and it was in an actual studio as opposed to an abandoned warehouse in the middle of Ukraine. So that was definitely an upgrade. When they saw that Swim wasn't coming, like, all right, let's make this a little more legit, guys. All right.
Yeah.
So I want to get Charmer's thoughts first, since he was at the last event as talent as well. What did you think this time around, buddy?
I really liked it. I felt like, so like as a comparison from last time to this time, I really felt like they took a lot of our feedback to heart, which I thought was very encouraging. They came with a plan to make better use of our time for Media Day, not just in like making it more bearable, but the fact that they filmed multiple segments this time around so that they could keep things fresh and not just keep playing the same one over and over again. The fact that they like somehow kept them all self-contained, right? So like some of the feedback we gave on our last segment was like, it tells a story, but then there's no follow-up. And this time each of the segments was self-contained. So you felt like you saw everything to completion.
That's right. No blue balls this time. Right.
Right. Right. The free time I thought was very well spent, going to the statue and stuff I felt was really cool, but we didn't overdo it this time as far as like trying to go do something, you know, every day or every other day. And, you know, everybody that we worked with before that was always nice and wonderful were still amazing. You know, Guitar Man was great. Max and Eugene and, you know, all the people that are fun to work with were still fun to work with. So I somehow managed to, I think, have more fun this time around than I did even the first time.
Yeah, I should mention one difference, of course, other than Media Day was the tour day, as it were. We actually went to somewhere that I found interesting. It was the World War II / Holocaust Museum. It was actually kind of depressing, actually, but it was
kind of depressing. Kind of.
Yeah, it was quite
I
depressing.
I literally have pictures of gloves made out of somebody's
hair. Yeah, there was mattresses made out of people's hair. Like, yeah, it was, how can that be?
Some of it was pretty fucked up. Some of it was pretty fucked up, I will say. But I will say it was still very interesting to see the kind of a different perspective on that, since we've heard like from other sides, obviously being American. We got to see that statue, which I keep the home mother. What is it called? Do you guys remember?
I didn't know there was a quiz.
I call it like the Motherland statue, but yeah, I don't know if that's the proper name.
That's what they kept calling it, the Motherland, but it never actually registered in my head that it was a woman, because it looks like a fucking dude, man. Like that neck.
How
is
dare you
thick.
speak ill of the woman, the beautiful. She is a warrior. That's why she has a thick neck.
All right,
okay?
When
she's
you see her
gym.
Up close, you're like, okay, I can see that's probably supposed to be a woman. The neck really doesn't do her any favors, although it probably keeps her head up nice and sturdy through the winter, so that's good. But
they're never inviting you to Ukraine ever, Kiev ever again.
It was cool to see the quote-unquote Statue of Liberty of Ukraine, as it were. So, Rob, this was your first time hosting, surprisingly. I thought, you can speak for everybody, you did an amazing job, buddy. How did you think it went from your perspective?
From my perspective, it was interesting because I had talked to Charmer before the first event, and there's always this little bit in the back of your mind that you're going to Ukraine and there's some studio in Ukraine and you're just worried, like, is this real? Is this a legit situation? So when I saw that you guys did it last time, it made things a lot simpler for me because I just got to show up and really just piggyback off of the good ideas that you guys had previously and then just add my little flair to it. And everyone was so professional about it too. Not just production and everything like that, but for just us in general, like we were there on time, making sure that if they told us 30 seconds, we were there. If, somebody had explosive diarrhea and couldn't make it, someone filled in.
All right. Can I interject here real quick? I think I said this, maybe I said it live. I can't even remember. I have been in this business for quite a while. and I'm not gonna lie, I'm surprised I lasted this long without that happening. I have had some very close calls in the past. This was the first time that I've had to step out right before a cast and actually miss some of it because of some issues. I'm glad that I was actually debating, like, sometimes you just feel the rumble, right? Like, I can stick it out. I'm pretty sure if I had stuck it out, that would have been the first in history shitting of pants at a live event by talent ever. And as hilarious as that story is, I don't want to be known as that guy that happens to. You know, well,
dude,
that's maybe
his
not true.
Face. The thing is that not everybody saw his face. Like the sweat going down his. You see that like nervousness, you know, when you're a little kid and you know you have to go to the bathroom, but you're like on a road trip or something. Dude, that was him. He was I'm over like way on the side, and I don't know he's sick, right? So I just think he's playing it up. I don't know why he's making like he looks like stressed and grimacing, and then in my ear I hear there's problem with sons, not feeling good. And I was like, oh god, check the walls, make sure they're clean before we come back from break. And if you see my face when I come in to do the fill-in cast, I look down in the chair just in case. just don't want to sit in a puddle. But it was a good time. Artifact desperately needs WePlay to be doing these type of events and being hype about it. Now, I don't want to pat everybody on the back, but because of you guys, the first time, it really raises the bar for what casts should be. And I feel kind of bad because I watch other people cast now and I'm just like, this isn't that exciting or funny. It doesn't really do much.
The trick
me.
Is you talk about nothing. And
right.
People enjoy
I've, so
it,
I've learned.
You know? You just make everything into a giant Seinfeld episode, apparently.
The Slacks That's, method.
Yes, the yes. Slacks method. The funny thing is they didn't get to test the mics with Slacks until because he
no,
showed up like
no,
a day
they
late.
Didn't.
So they were in for a real treat. All right, Swim, from your perspective, you were talent the first time, player the second. You got top four, which we'll get to soon enough. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah.
We'll pat you on the back. How was your experience with the tournament as a player?
It was okay. I played in it. Well, I don't know. I mean, you guys have all these stories. You guys spent like a week and a half out in Kiev. I clicked some cards. I don't know what.
Was it stressful? Was it? Were you nervous? You know, anything? Were you playing with your hair constantly? Because I have to admit, when you were playing, I don't know if it's normal, but like when you stream, this is fucking constant, dude. Like,
yeah.
Just your hair must be so damaged from constantly. But playing. You weren't touching it very much, my friend. You held off.
Yeah,
somehow.
Yeah.
What's the deal?
No. That's kind of always how it is. Like, I'm always kind of, you know, in my own head, trying to concentrate, trying to focus on other things. The hair is a distraction. Can't have that one.
I see.
And he was stone cold dead. Like that's the best part is when you can see his face when that arcane assault came through from Lumi, and all this is Swim. He's like. Now what, right? Like, so, that was did it for me.
So as a player, was it like did it feel like long hours or was it just pretty quick? I mean, I guess it wasn't really that much playing because the groups were it's like two games or three at most. How was that experience for like
they were pretty quick. No, it's so easy on this end. It was so much harder, like actually. Like I had to do a ton of prep for the tournament. I spent the week and a half prior to the tournament. I streamed every single day trying to come up with strategies. Unfortunately, I made the mistake of streaming everything I did. So like a lot of people just net decked me even before the group started. For example, you know, Andy. But I think it worked out well overall. But during the actual event itself, it's so much easier on mine because I just sit down and play a video game for 2 hours. Whereas you guys, I mean, you guys have to marathon it.
Yeah,
and that first day was a marathon. That first day was... Oh,
that was the first time we cast with the new patch where they changed the timer. And somehow, even though Panda's like almost wrong about everything, he's so confident about everything. And he's like, you know what? This because the patch actually increased the time of the games. I'm like, I mean, I can see maybe that working because there's a lot of 5-second periods where they get for free that you can't really count up. But it was really just the first day. Second day was kind of long as well. But after that, every day was super short. I don't know what happened between day two and the rest of the days. But I'm happy they weren't super long. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that first day was like 13 or 14 hours, right? Like, it was forever.
Yes.
And for me, somebody new stepping in, they're like, hey! Dude, those cats are going at it.
Get out of here.
What kind of fight ring do you have over there in Arizona? Jesus.
Freaking that bucket, that cat, he's a real bully. God, he's like the freaking Sir Action Slacks of cats. Just trying to push everybody off their mantle. All right, sorry, continue. Cat fights.
No, it's
over.
All right. In other news, a long day of casting, and then you hear Panda say, oh, well, this is the way it's going to be. Like, I was like, oh, God, how am I going to do this for 6 days? Like, it's... But it turns out that he was completely incorrect, as he was many times that week.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about the dominance of the newcomers, which I'm really interested to hear Swim's perspective on this, because we did talk about it a lot. There were so many players that came in through qualifiers that it wasn't like they squeaked in to the player. They dumpstered, like super... high tier players that we've talked about being professional for a long time. Just a couple names. Real Man, who maybe we might have hyped up a little too much. but then again, he didn't have a webcam for the playoffs, so we don't even know if that was him, potentially. Tenshi, Shayna, Stormlike, which we'll get to, Swim. What was that grimace?
What was the face? What was the face for? Grimace? Why are you talking shit about my boy Stormlike? He was like, Stormlike.
No. What face?
Oh, okay.
I didn't make a face.
So sorry, what are your thoughts on these new players just coming in and, well, new players.
Right.
So coming in how many invited players made it to the top six, actually?
I'd have to look, but it was had to be less than
50%.
Four or five.
Like that. Yeah. I think it's pretty expected, honestly. Like, so the first thing is that, you know, a lot of the invited players, of course, like, haven't really kind of played as much. Like, anyone who made it past qualifiers is people that have been, like, shit ton. Like, these are the people, like for example, Teddy has, like, 30 hours. You guys were pointing out, there's someone else you were pointing out had, like, 30, level 34. Or, sorry, I said 30 hours. I meant level 30.
Right.
Like, their player levels are high. They've been putting a shit ton of time into the game. And this is also kind of what a lot of us were mentioning. When people were saying, like, playing in closed beta is a huge advantage, like, it's no doubt that it is an advantage for early events, but we're at the point of the game where, like, a lot of these people playing that weren't in closed beta, you know, they're able to put in the time and they're much more than caught up right now, right? The other thing is that a lot of the invited players are, like, draft players mostly. Like, for example, Life Coach and Stan Sifka, they spend a ton of time playing draft. Even Hyped, I mean, who did super well in constructed tournaments, but he pretty much just plays draft, right?
Yeah, that's like a trip, because when all these tournaments first came around and Hyped started doing really well, I was concerned going into those tournaments because he really didn't play constructed. We didn't even talk constructed. It was like all of the groups were just talking about draft strategies and that's it. And for him to do so well in constructed tournaments is great. And then coming into this event, like you said, you've got people who are like level 26, 27, 20. I mean, they're putting in a ton of work to get to that point. So it shouldn't be expected. I mean, and shouldn't not be expected that they do well, but it just kind of goes against what some people out there think, like, oh, if you're a professional player, you're supposed to win everything because of what Hype did, right? If Hype doesn't win both those tournaments, we probably just don't have the same conversation. But like, and then the brackets also were kind of weird because we have like Swim and Lumi and like Petrify, like all at the bottom of a bracket. Right. And if that spread out a little more, we also could have had a different conversation about the performance of people who are like the pros in the game. So, or again, even in group stages, I went back and watched some of the video. There's a lot of draws where like if Hyped gets he's got maybe like a 4 or 5 outer and real high percentage of getting what he needs. If he gets it, he probably wins. And then again, maybe we have a different conversation. So but that's a card game tournament for you. That's not. There's a lot of randomness that goes on in a card tournament for sure.
I think that's a very good point as well. I think that in card games especially, it's really important to kind of understand the statistical meaning behind variance. Like sometimes patterns just emerge that you actually just fall into traps just by trying to identify, right? Because that's what the brain does, is just pattern identification. And sometimes variance does have a huge hand. Like for example, Hyped getting eliminated in groups. Like, obviously, he's not a bad constructed player, but sometimes variance will just swing one way or the other. And I think, like, if you run that tournament several more times, I don't doubt there's a lot of reasons why the qualifiers are, you know, going to do better than some of the invited players. I'm not going to name any names, but, you know, outside of all that, there's just variance. Like, sometimes you end up with result.
Well, yeah. And the other thing about the people who went through the qualifiers is if they had to run back another qualifier with the same field, they probably don't win. So there's a lot of that. And so you can't, I hear like and read people on Reddit, they're like, oh, these people don't know how to play, they qualified, blah, blah, blah. Like you still have to, even in our closed beta tournaments, if you're doing well in the closed beta tournaments, at some point you get into that tournament where you're playing against people who really know what's going on. It's not like you play bums for 5 rounds, right? Or 6 rounds. It's just not a thing. So I don't like the narrative that a lot of people on Reddit are like, oh, there's people in this top 16 who don't even know how to play the game. And I'm like, that's just not true. Like everyone here is pretty proficient at the game. Pretty proficient, Swim. I see your face.
Yeah, it's like,
you know what? See, you're afraid to talk the real shit. See, this is the difference between you and I. You make the face and I say the name. Okay.
Well, I think like, between this tournament and the last one, the play was way better though. We have to admit that.
Yeah, for sure. There was only one timeout instead of like five.
That's true, and that was a gonna be a loss anyway, right?
Yeah, it's gonna be a loss anyway. Yeah,
don't mention that timeout because you'll get chastised on Twitter, even though it's legitimately actually what happened. The person timed out. Don't mention it.
What are they chastised? Wait, what?
What? Well, yeah, what's the chastised story?
Did you get some heat there, boss?
Yeah, I had somebody else who apparently is a tournament organizer tell me, and I quote, "I need to play more artifact and then cast because they would have lost anyway." And, fuck you, guy. Like, I said exactly what happened. It was Charmer, a timeout. The person Charmer, lost.
Get fucked, Charmer. All right? That guy,
yeah, right?
Really, like, put you in your place, let me tell you right now.
And they all come after Charmer, too. They just see, like, they figure he's this skinny white guy from Michigan.
It's because I'm so agreeable, is what I've been told.
Oh,
no, the reason why is because you always say, "in my opinion." So they think you're a bitch. That's why.
Yeah, I'm with Rob on this one, Charmer.
But
like, I know you very well, and I also think.
listen. All right. In my opinion.
There it is.
Every one of you can go fuck yourselves. And I don't. I want to be clear about this. I don't mean like a casual, nice, like insert a butt plug while you're jerking yourself. I mean you can fuck yourself with a cactus.
Charmer, when you say
insert a butt plug.
I feel like when you say that, now. I can only take it as a compliment. Like it's not. It doesn't feel aggressive coming from you. It's just you're too nice,
yeah, I
Charmer.
Know.
Right.
You know?
Well, and that's it's funny because if he goes back and watches it, right before he's telling somebody they're trash, he always says, "in my opinion," right beforehand. He's like, "in my opinion, this play was blah, blah, blah," gives you all these reasons. It's kind of like the same thing with Panda. He's telling you suck, but he has to say it in a very nice way, right?
Like, that's what casters are supposed to do. That's what they're supposed to do. That's part of the job.
I'm with Charmer on this one. When it comes to like the actual, like when you're in the cast, that's the good part of that.
Correct. Yeah. So for me, like the big reason that I do things like "in my opinion" is because hear me out. Like the reason that I do that when I'm casting is because there are legitimately times where in the past I've thought to myself, like, "oh my god, this is a fucking stupid move." And then 2 minutes later I realize the genius of what just happened. So it's less about me calling somebody trash and more about me just protecting my own ass.
When I say
the words "in my opinion," it's literally me going, you know, there might be a line here that I don't see and I don't want to look like a fucking idiot later. So I'm going to say my opinion.
It was like when Petrify cooed the wrong target. It was actually a misclick. And I was like my first reaction is, my God, what the fuck? He lasered and then cooed him. That makes no sense. But there must be something behind it, right? Then I see his reaction on camera, like, okay, he fucked up pretty bad. So I feel pretty confident saying he fucked up. You know, it's just one of those things.
At the start of my series versus Lumi, like turn one when I just Adonai costed.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, Slax was there. He was trying to defend. He was like, God, I'm sure Swim had some kind of genius reason for doing this, guys. No. I'm so sure.
Oh, God. When you did that, I turned to Suns and I was like, is he trying to lose on purpose to throw our fucking cast? Because you did that, and then you did something else. Like
it was
an
annihilation. He didn't put your hero in an annihilation lane. He just lost. It was weird.
He just like didn't move it. I was like, is he really trying to lose on purpose? This motherfucker. He's not here. He's trying to get us from the other side. I was like, who the fuck talks some shit about Swim, and he's trying to fuck up our shit. Like, but no, yeah.
His caffeine pills just wore off temporarily. You know, it was just a slight, slight dip in energy levels and slight loss in focus. I can't remember the exact instant. Yeah, there was a point, Swim, I think I maybe messaged you, and you said that you didn't make a mistake on something. Do you remember what specific play it was?
Trying to think. It was it was stealing initiative for against Dr. Hippie, the turn he cooed when I was at 5 mana and discarded his horn.
Yeah, the one he discarded Horn of the Alpha. That's right. So
yeah, I didn't misplay by not stealing initiative because I knew I didn't need initiative because I was at 5 mana and couldn't cast anything. But apparently, I mean, he didn't apparently see
that.
He must have not realized that I was at 5 mana, otherwise he wouldn't have queued there.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. I guess wrapping up the tournament, Charmer, I want to get your opinion on the format itself and if you think there should be any changes or if you think it was pretty ideal.
In relation to the first one, I think that the format went really well. I liked that we obviously had open qualifier participants this time around. I'm personally a big fan of Conquest because I think it creates the best viewer experience. Like, heaven help us if this was a single deck format and we saw, you know, 30 out of 32 people bring red green ramp. And I know that there are a lot of pro card game players that dislike Conquest, like hate it vehemently. But the reality is, you need viewers to have tournaments. And if it's the best thing for the viewers, then I'm all for it. In my opinion, fuckers.
he heard it in his mind, right?
Yeah. I like the idea of maybe mixing it up in future events to maybe include either draft or, you know, if not part of like a split format like the Magic Pro Tour does, where you do part like sealed events or draft and then part constructed. I'd like to see, you know, if WePlay does these things where they have three tournaments, it would be kind of cool to see them do like one straight constructed, one straight draft, one mixed or something like that. But just in terms of this particular tournament, I rather enjoyed the format, and I would like to see more constructed events like this.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of the GSL format for group stage. Just makes it easier. Obviously, a lot of it depends on the strength of each respective group, which is kind of impossible to balance at the end of the day, especially when you have like these open qualifiers, people coming in. But the fact that there were two decks, I think you're exactly right. The first tournament kind of got away with it because the game was brand new for the most part, just launching. We did see a lot of the same decks, but we still saw a good amount of variation. And this time, your red-green ramp, I personally don't mind it as much as other people because it's really easy to cast. Oh, he got Stars Align! Oh,
turn two, time of trial!
Here we are, going into another tie.
Yeah, the ties are a little bit brutal, but what do you two think about the two-deck Conquest format?
Swim?
Oh, I think it was pretty good. I think that there are... It's important to note there's a lot of people that brought ramp second deck. I think that it's probably... We're probably seeing less density of ramp than we would have in a one-deck format. But that being said, because it's such an easy deck to pilot, and, you know, obviously there is nuance to it, but it is easier than a lot of other things out there. When someone is, like, maining something else and they're looking for a second deck to bring, and this is what I did, it's what a lot of people did, you just kind of slap ramp down. Because if you're feeling uncomfortable in things, you can't bring something like a mono blue, you just have to bring ramp.
Right.
Yeah, and the thing for WePlay is having, like you said, viewer experience is the most important thing. We want to make sure that people don't see the same matchups over and over and over and over again. Like, it's just not enjoyable. The Pro Tour with Magic runs into that sometimes when some people break the format, and it's just bad. But that being said, moving forward with the next event, I still think we have to have some kind of emphasis on draft. I think that it's sometimes hard to cast a draft tournament, and this Pit series is kind of showing some of the issues with that, where people really want to see the draft portion, and we're not seeing that. It's also where you're not able to see all the groups, and sometimes there's certain groups that people want to turn into, you just don't have them available. I understand that it's hard to get casters, it's hard to get talent for these events, so I understand where they're coming from. But I think WePlay really wants to, in this next intelligence tournament, to find a way to cast draft correctly, and then also educate people more about draft, because we really, as casters in the community, have to do our part to kind of buoy this, is get people excited, to get them hyped up and get them feeling it about Artifact beyond just their own games, right? Like, and we do that with open qualifiers, we do that with some of these invites, and we have a mixture. But I think WePlay will be at the forefront of this for a while, because we just don't have anybody else who wants to put any kind of time and energy into the tournament scene, right? It's just, hey, here's your cast, go about your day. And
I think the main problem with draft, and I agree with everything you said, because I think draft can be very exciting to watch, and I personally love watching drafts themselves. The problem is the actual, I don't think right now you can watch live drafting. I think that's one thing that's not in the game, right? I think you have to go back through you can go back and watch it mode. Once it's, yeah.
Maybe that'll be in the update today that saves the game.
Yeah, here we go. But save the game.
The real issue is the fact that, how do you watch every draft? Like, how does that work? Plan, broadcasting time? It feels like very difficult to actually do.
So my idea for that was, you have a feature draft like they do in Magic. You pick one person. You go back through, you have a team that will live, but you can't do, if it was live, let's say, you would have the team do that one. All the other ones would be done off camera before the tournament even like started. I'm not starting to start, but that tournament day. So mm-hmm. it would make for longer days for the casting teams. But I think you would want to have the ability to like go to YouTube and, hey, Slacks did a draft. Let's go to YouTube and let's look at his draft behind the scenes. But so I think you need to have someone doing some kind of commentary on each draft individually somewhere. And you can't do that really in Magic because they don't, there's just way too many players.
See, that still feels kind of bad that it's offline almost, right?
Sure.
You're not able to do it live. You're not able to streamline it, because if you can somehow compress it and do it technically live, but then show it as a video on stream, but compress it somehow to show the, because some drafts are going to be really boring, right? But some drafts people are going to get like, what are good heroes?
Time of Triumph.
Like Axe, LC, double Time of Triumph or something of that nature. So I agree. It seems like a headache from a production standpoint. You know, it just makes everything more difficult, which is unfortunate.
And it's hard to compress it though, too. Like if, let's say I ask Swim, I need you to look at somebody's draft and then compress like the entire draft into a 4-minute break of actual analysis that people could use. It'd be hard to give somebody real information in 4 minutes, yeah, right?
For sure.
Like something worthwhile. And that's because that was the original idea. Like do these offline evaluations and then just kind of play them in between like breaks. But the evals were like 30 minutes long. So the other plan was to before the stream starts, like let's say 4 hours before the stream, and when it goes offline, you're just always playing these draft videos and these deep dives before the cast. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is on that.
I think it's probably best to do a mix of some sort, because I think the most important part of the entire tournament draft wise to watch the live draft would be like top four. Like when it gets to top four, let's say the tournament set up in a way that they have to redraft anyway, you can mm-hmm. do each one individually, and it does add additional time to the broadcast, but it makes it so much more exciting, I think. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we would all be excited to run that extra time, because in the finals, if you're only running best of three, they can go very fast, right? So I also think there's an opportunity in draft, if we wanted to spread it out, let's say it was going to be best of three, I would love to do interviews in between each game. Like this is, you know, like in basketball, you know, it's halftime. You go to talk to the coach. Hey, what do you think about what's going on?
To be fair, those interviews suck balls.
They do suck balls, but we could do them better, okay?
Well, better than the NBA.
Right, well, that's... yes. But it's kind of like in... actually, in the World Series of Poker, after day one, you do some featurettes with people, things like that. American Idol has a really good handle on doing that kind of stuff, where you have featurettes of certain players. Because I would love for the next tournament, if we have somebody like Mago, and I know it's impossible money-wise, but you have somebody fly out to Siberia, right? And sit and talk with him and do a little 20-30 minute thing as part of him winning, to know more about him and build his star and build his brand. And that's what we have to start talking about now, is building the brands of these Artifact players and keep them playing Artifact. Because as much as I would love to lose a player to whatever the newest game is, like Dota 2 Chess or whatever it is, like I would prefer not to. I want to keep people at home and know that their star is bright in the Artifact scene, even if the game isn't so bright.
Swim, your star is so bright right now.
It's very so bright. A brown star.
I can really feel it.
hot like fire.
So in terms of, I'll start with Charmer on this one. In terms of the players at the tournament, was there anybody in particular that surprised you, either being a negative or a positive that stands out in your mind?
Right, negative
for the,
only.
Right for the jugular.
Only. Jugs.
Yeah, if you want to build up this new persona being a tough guy, Charmer, you got to start with a negative, right?
You got to work on your WWE persona.
Hit him where it hurts, Charmer.
Right in the dick.
Well, just like I said at the actual event, I think the one that surprised me the most was this no-name scrub I'd never heard of, which was Swim, you know? I was expecting a one and done from this guy. I mean, who even names himself Swim, right?
One like, pump jump.
Psychotic is what it is.
You know, I'm actually not surprised that we had as many of the like unknowns, if you will, perform as well as they did. There are I mean, not only have they put in more time, but I mean, there are some people who were playing in this tournament who didn't find out they were until last minute. So they may have not have been preparing, right? So we had some last minute subs. Then you've got some people that probably got their invite or knew that they were coming from the last time and just didn't practice.
Or are playing other games potentially.
Or, well, I mean, I don't really hold that against other people because, like, let's be honest, I know that card game players usually play more than one card game. Like, you don't love card games, but only love one card game. So, like, the fact that Mogwai is also playing Magic, for example, like, I'm not going to, like, blanket that. Who the fuck doesn't play Magic? So,
right, but I think the point, though, is that it's about money. If you tell someone there's $7,500 on the line, I would assume that their focus would be on winning that $7,500. And many of those people, I don't think, did that.
Well, I think
that not a lot of money? Is that not a lot of money? I don't know.
Maybe I mean, like not, let's be honest here. It's not, for example, right? Like, I'll use Reyna just because everybody knows who he is, right? So, like, when you talk about the first tournament where there was, like, $10,000 or whatever on the line for the total prize pool, why the fuck does Raynaud even care to practice?
Right. Why does he even show up?
He's probably losing money by participating in this when he could be doing something else, you know? So there are some people where playing in this is more about the competitive spirit than it is necessarily about, like, them winning the money or the income. I'm not saying that that money doesn't have the capacity to change some people's lives. I'm just saying that, you know, for events like this, it's just as much about, like, pride and stroking your ego as it is anything else, you know?
Yeah, but wouldn't you think if it's about your ego and your competitiveness that you would be grinding, trying to win? Like, I guess that's how I look at it. If it's about the money, right, you get in there and you try to do as much as you can to try to win. And then if it's about your ego, you're going to do the same thing because what better F you to a game is to get in there, win it, and be like, I don't even play this game.
So let me give you the perspective of somebody who, you know, up until very recently was working three jobs that were not content creation, right?
Oh, baby.
I like to win. I'm a really competitive person. I also really like making content, but I also fucking worked three jobs. And for some people, like a Mogwai or some others, the content creation is their job. So they've got to put in the time there first before they can go and then play their practice games. Like, you got to put your food on the table. And the prospects of maybe winning a tournament versus the guaranteed revenue stream of doing the other games. I mean, you go with the guaranteed stream every time. So, like, again, I'm not going to knock other people for playing other games or whatever. I mean, I'm surprised that Hyped went out 0-2. It's a card game and it happens. I'm not saying that I, like, view him negatively as a result.
I do.
Yeah, me too.
It's just like you said, dick. Like, there were plenty of times, Jesus. There were plenty of times where he had outs and whatever, but I was surprised, and I don't know. I was a little bit surprised that Lumi actually did as well as he did, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I'm with Jarmo on this one.
You can do that all you want, Rob, but
Lumi should have won that tournament.
Well, should have won. All right, now we can have a disagreement here.
Yeah,
that's a pie to the face, Rob. All right,
I'm with Charmer on this one.
That's a bit strong. Like, listen, he did really well with what he knows how to do, right? Like, he rides his one trick pony incredibly well, but it's a one trick pony
in a field where the one trick pony is probably the best. Like, and that's in a field of all red green. I looked at it like, who is going to bring the blue green deck and be able to play it the best? Because I think that is the natural predator to these red green decks. It was before, and now it's obviously not as great, but you still get the opportunity. If they go turn two Time of Triumph, you can up that by a lot. And and obviously it was Stormlike that did it, but you can see plenty of times where the deck kind of like took Stormlike by the back of the neck and was like, come with me, little child. Like, and I think Lumi, he was in a position where he gets to play a deck that he knows inside and out and really doesn't have any bad matchups. Like, there was,
and despite all of that,
we're going to have words
very well, which tells you an awful lot about why he doesn't deserve to win the tournament.
I want to hear what Rob, we'll get to Swim last. I want to hear the player perspective last on this, but Rob, Is that the thing that surprised you the most, that Lumi didn't win, or is something else?
No. The thing that surprised me the absolute most is that Hyped didn't make it out of the group stages. I think Hyped is one of the best players in the game. On top of being naturally good at the game, he puts in a lot of time. And there's not a lot of people who put in the same amount of time every single day. But there's also not many people. There's like, you know, two people in the universe who have like serious pro contracts. Everyone else has like these, like, I don't know, kind of superficial pro contracts that don't really do much except give them a name. They don't give them an actual salary. And when you have a salary behind your contract, you can focus in and do those kind of things. And so the people who have those opportunities, I expect the most of. So I expect the most of people like Swim, like Hyped. And whenever they don't win a tournament, it's a surprise for me. And like I said, the only reason I felt like Lumi was really good and well positioned in that format was because I felt really good in the blue green deck. And if he was playing anything else, it wouldn't have even been a conversation. So,
okay. So you're saying Hype's going to get cut by Liquid now?
Not a chance. Not a chance. The man is too good looking. Have you seen the man in ads?
He's very good looking. I'm going to get Swim last on this because playing in it is quite different than from the viewer perspective or commentating perspective. Obviously, Hyped is up there as being very surprising, especially in the fashion that he went out. I think he just went out 0-2, right? He didn't win any series at all, which is crazy. I will actually say Stormlike was the biggest surprise for me. Obviously, it's a player that I wasn't familiar with to start with, but after watching him play, I didn't understand how he kept winning. I'm not going to lie. I did not understand. The decks he brought
were...
He
kept saying this.
The decks were super weird, which I love, by the way. Like I think the Thunder Horse Alpha ended up... It makes sense on some level. I'm not saying it's good necessarily, but it worked enough for him to get top four. Swim's going to shake his head. The Lodestone Demolition that he brought in the group stage, he never used. And we can talk about that card a little bit later. But he brought some weird stuff, and it just kept working. And I don't know how. How did he get top four? I will never understand this. But Swim, as a player, what surprised you the most, player-wise? Or who surprised you? Sorry.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about Lumi and.
I knew he couldn't let it go.
No. I think that it's a really important topic. So First of all, I agree with you that the Storm deck, the blue green Salamana Storm, is basically auto win against Amp. I think that if someone had brought a lineup that capitalized on that fact better, they could have been set to win the tournament because Ramp was the landscape in this tournament. I think that Ramp probably shouldn't have been the landscape in this tournament. And I think that Lumi's second deck, his red-black aggro thing, was not really geared towards supporting his overall game plan. I actually would probably agree with you if Lumi was bringing a second deck that actually was more teched against Ramp. He actually took an aggro deck and anti-teched it for the Ramp matchup by taking out Disciples and the Oath.
Yeah.
So it makes it a lot harder to actually win against Ramp. And his lineup didn't really complement like that strategy in the way that it really could have. That being said, at the same time, I mean, the blue-green Salamina Storm has a near-auto lose matchup against Mono Blue, which I think we definitely should have seen more of as well. But, you know, I'm sure you guys know that perspective.
Yeah, but I guess on that side of it, though, I didn't feel people were going to be comfortable playing Mono Blue.
For sure.
And I felt like people just were going to get – they're going to play test Mono Blue. They didn't know why they were losing. They didn't see the intricacies of the deck. They didn't understand the difference between 40 and 44. Obviously, you have a different understanding of what's going on with the playing more than 40 cards. That's a whole nother discussion. But yes, there's all of that. So it was like, and I didn't realize until too late that Lumi's aggro list wasn't like the hyper aggro beat red green all the time list. So
it was like a hybrid. It's actually,
it was a bit of a hybrid. His exact build was probably somewhat unfavored against red green ramp because, I mean, when you take out the 80 potential, that's kind of your only win condition in that matchup. And when you take it out, you just have like black against. With not really enough disruption to really be able to stop their game plan, so it doesn't really work out that well. But yeah, I mean, you're right about the mono blue thing. Like, not a lot of people were comfortable.
In fact, no one was except for you. you were in the top 16. I mean,
we'll get to Swim's deck very shortly. But is that what surprised you the most, Swim, or is it something in particular?
I don't know what surprised me the most. Probably Stormlike making it as far as he did, actually.
So you agree with me on that?
Yeah, of course. I very, very, very much agree with you on that. I don't think there was necessarily a reason to read into why he made it that far. I think that can be explained by variance.
Ooh, that's a hot take there, boys.
Really?
I think that's a hot take. I think that Stormlike... So the entire time, and I don't want to bogart your here things, Shannon, but the entire time he would look at me and he would go, Rob, it's very interesting that he's winning. It's very, right. Actually, it's not interesting. How the is this guy keep winning? How?
I don't understand.
Like,
so I was. Oh, sorry.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
I was talking at the time of the matches and when we were doing the top eight. I was in a conversation with one or two other pros. I'm not gonna name any names.
There's only four pros in the game. We know who they are.
Okay, but the general sentiment of the room was like, how the fuck is this guy making it this far? He has trash decks and he's really bad misplays. And sometimes that, you know.
See, that's the thing. Like, for me, obviously, I can only say so much because we can say something negative about a player, and then I'm like, maybe he knows more than me, because I always just take that assumption that this guy knows more than me, which is still might be the case. I like the idea that he brought new stuff that ended up working for him, but I felt like so many situations, I was like, this has to be a misplay, right? But then he wins. I'm like, very strange. It was I feel like I've never seen that consistently in Artifact. That's the thing we always talk about, right? Because skill will always trump luck in most cases. Obviously,
yeah.
Red Green Ramp, maybe not the best example, but for him, it just felt more consistent, which is why I was so confused overall. But
basically, I would say you still haven't. Like, if we go to the intelligence tournament and over the next few months, we're gonna see this as an outlier, basically.
Okay, so let's get into the decks for the top four just briefly, so we can talk about. We'll start with Stormlike. So. For the actual playoffs, he had, of course, the Selimae Storm, which we talked about. We've seen it many a time. The one I want to talk about is the Red Green Ramp Omni Knight with Thunder Horse Alpha. I want to hear from Swim. I have an opinion on Omni Knight. You probably heard us talk about it a lot in this Red Green Ramp. I think the only reason he is played by some people is because of his body, because he can't get ganked by PA. He just doesn't die as easily as like a Darkseer, a Lycan, a Treant Protector, whatever the case may be, or Drow Ranger in your case.
So Omni Knight is to Artifact what Charmer is to casting?
I don't understand why you're here.
What?
He has a big booty?
Where are you?
I don't get it. He's a thick boy?
He only gets to participate because of his body, not because he's
useful. Not because of actual talent. I see. Got it.
Yeah.
That was a two-step ahead.
Give me the lowdown on Omni. Am I on the right track? Is there something else we're missing?
Yeah, 100%. No, I mean, that's most of the reason. Like, his Sig is good when you're going to, value-to-value exchanges, like ramp versus ramp mirror. His Sig is powerful. But, I mean, what you're saying is pretty much how it is. A lot of people were actually using Omni Knight. So, some people were using Omni Knight on flop. Some were coming out on the turn. And the reason anybody would deploy Omni Knight on the turn is specifically for exactly what you're saying. Because on the turn, you're looking to dodge the PA gank, stay out of lethal range on that, and he has 12 health and can do that.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And what were your thoughts on... I want to get everybody's thoughts on this as well, specifically. Thunder Horse Alpha in that deck. I'm guessing you don't like it.
Stinker. Is it,
I mean, it's, give me the it's trolly, why. Right?
It worked.
I mean, so here's an important thing... Like, did it win games that other cards wouldn't have won?
Probably.
Like,
not.
In the situations it was winning, would Emissary not have won? Because if it was winning the same exact situations as Emissary, then it didn't really work, right? It didn't itself accomplish anything.
See, the thing for me, and I understand the whole Omni Knight idea, the body and whatnot. I feel like in a deck like that, doesn't Darkseer just make even more sense with Surge being able to move? These Thunderhide Alpha or Thunder Horse Alphas, sorry, they take out a tower basically in one hit at that stage, right? And then you can just move them to another tower and try to do that again. Is that just too fringe of a case to really make it a consistent thing, or am I just looking too into this?
I would say it's too fringe of a case. I mean, Surge is it's not like you're achieving higher maximum value from Surge in these scenarios, because if you're Surging an Emissary, it's also going to be very good. If you're Surging a Time of Triumph Tiro, it's also going to be very good. Surge is not, you're not really dedicating it towards a target like that.
Okay. What do you guys think of Thunder Horse at the tournament? Did it represent the community well? Or are you guys not fans either?
Charm?
I really like the version that Vin brought, personally. Like the mono blue with the Ricks. Because
that was pretty funny.
it showcases, like, if you're going to try to use Thunderhide Alpha properly, I think it showcases, like, the best use cases, right? You use it in place of, like, a Bolt where you're already trying to stall, and because he was running Rix, like, we never got to see it in the event, but one of the other reasons that Vin runs Rix specifically is that if you're ever in a situation where you are stalling and you use Annihilation to blow up a lane, Rix comes back immediately with the deployment, and then you put him back in that empty lane, and then you can drop Thunderhide. So you're almost guaranteeing that you're going to have an open door there because everything else that was there got nerfed. And that's a situation where Emissary isn't necessarily stronger, yes. Right? So in terms of, like, decks that I think used it properly, I liked Vin's build significantly more. And I was a little bit sad that he was eliminated. I wanted to see it showcased. But, like, you know, seeing anything that's different and new and potentially exciting for viewers, I'm going to be a big fan of. So I think it did fine.
I completely agree with that, by the way. It makes a lot more sense in that deck. I'd also like to add to what you're saying and point out the Bracers of Sacrifice. I'm sure you guys mentioned this at some time on the panel, but it kind of completes that, like, sort of triad of those three things, because the Bracers obviously is always what you want on Rix. And the fact that you can clear a Chomper when you have no mana left available because you just cast Thunderhide is actually really important. Getting value out of that card.
Yep. I mean, all those are that. There's not really much to say after that, right? Those are the reasons you play it. But it's just like, but it's not good in red green. Like,
yeah, pretty much.
You don't replace it with something that's obscene.
Like, and that's
Emissary's obscene.
And that's kind of the most important mentality. Like, Suns fan, you were saying, like, it worked, and it's fairly rare that it's going to lose you games. But when you compare it to Emissary, there are a couple of games where it'll lose you games that Emissary would have won, and there's very, very, very few that it'll actually win you games that Emissary wouldn't have won.
Right.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, and this is kind of the most important thing to understand in terms of, like, why certain decks performed better than expected. At the end of the day, these minor card changes aren't really going to matter that much. Like, MAGA won with Lodestone Demolition, but is it the right choice? I mean, it could have been. It's not impossible, but it's not really a result to read into because it has a hard time making a difference.
I saw the animation for that on Reddit a few days later.
It's sick.
It is so good.
Yeah.
I was so sad we didn't get to see it.
Charmer, look at it.
It was so good.
We were in the airport.
Moving along to the rest of the top four, Swim, your decks, you had the red-green ramp with Drow and Mist, which we'll talk about in a second, and Mono Blue with Outworld, Devourer, and Lost in Time. So I want to start with that. Okay. Outworld, Devourer, considered before this tournament to be easily, it wasn't even a discussion, easily the worst hero in the entire game. How did it work for you?
Who considered him that?
The community in general. Yeah, pretty much everyone. And you at some point as well. Don't even try.
Well, when he was at 6 health, he was a lot worse.
Okay, so it's the 7 HP made all the difference.
It made a really big difference. I should note that, so a couple of things with that deck. I think OD is the proper stable hero in that deck. That wasn't tournament or meta tech. That wasn't even spicy. Like, I've changed my stable version of the list in ladder format to include OD. I think it's just the best hero in that slot. And with the Lost in Time, however, that might be more of a meta call. I kind of slapped it in day two because I was, you know, realizing how much of the representation was ramp, and Lost in Time is just kind of ramp tech.
All right, talk to us about OD specifically. Why is he good in this deck, other than the body?
It's basically, the body is the biggest thing. You guys mentioned that on the panel. Charmer and Rob were very good about, like, identifying that. I mean, the fact that he one-shots a creep is really important, but there's a lot of utility to Astral. Well, like, stopping Blink Daggers is really good, and the function of stopping Blink Daggers doesn't even get hurt by the advent of Jasper Daggers, because when you Astral them, they can't Jaggers without taking off their Blink Dagger. Right. Mm-hmm. So stopping blinks is, you know, just as good as it was before. There's a great utility in terms of just, like, controlling the time when your heroes die. It's a very high skill ceiling card as players, because nobody's good at mono blue yet. Like, not even
very not high skill ceiling card, let me tell you.
Yeah, but seriously, like,
he's not lying.
as players get better at utilizing the deck, it fits really well with how that deck to Thor, because it's a very timing based deck, so being able to just control slow down the game when you want to, or control the timing at which your heroes die, is important.
Yeah, it was very cool. Very cool. We were very excited when we saw that. At first I thought it was a misprint on the paper that was printed out, but glad to see it worked out for you, buddy.
I'm kind of disappointed I didn't do better overall. I'm not very happy with my performance.
That's a good EG Good PR statement.
Yeah.
Well, but I'm serious. Like, it's, and other people may not be as guest demanding, but there's a certain level of, if Swim is in this tournament, if Hyped is in this tournament, they should win. Anything less is shit. Like, that's
no,
it.
I should
you
have.
Know? You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not trying to say it to like dump on Swim, but there's this expectation of Swim puts in the most work at a high level than most other folks do at all. And he has the pressure of having a team. He has the pressure of being someone who's moving from another game where he was super popular and now is the poster child for Artifact. And if Swim fails, people are happy about it. They're like rooting for his downfall. So he has that additional pressure on top of the normal pressure he brings to himself. So, but all of that being said, he still has the skills to win a tournament with a mono blue, because really no one else plays it that well. And I expect him to win. And if I expect him to win, I know he does. And I know that when he finishes not in the finals, then he's definitely disappointed, because this is his mantle. This is his home. And winning is like the fireplace in his home. It keeps his home warm. And without it, it's
wow. These
shit.
Analogies, boy, they're,
I mean, but tell me I'm wrong, right?
You're wrong.
By the way, tournament results will disagree, and if we're resulting, we're also going to disagree. But I still think Mono Blue is the strongest deck in the game. I think that might seem surprising to a lot of people, just based on A, its general showing in terms of how many people brought it, and B, its performance. But I mean, it's a pretty underutilized deck. I remember Mago actually
with the new timer.
Yeah,
the new timer affects that.
The new timer benefits it, actually, because you complete a lot of actions in a small amount of time. So if you're good at managing your time, you actually gain more net.
But you're really bad at managing your time, right?
So I think that's honestly a misconception. I think that it's actually, I'm always so low on time because I'm actually so good at managing. You see? Because I'm able to understand the maximum value of my time, and I manage it so well that I skip the line. I spend all 30 seconds on hero deployment, and then I just coast on 5 seconds each turn for the rest of the
What a fucking god, I have to say. All right, I want to finish out these decks real quick. So Mago, I want to talk about three things. We're going to talk about, or two things. Mago obviously got first place. Shayna got second. They both ran, I don't even know what to call this deck. It's the 4 red, 1 black. What do you call this?
Yeah, splash. He calls it woke mono red. That's what Mago calls
woke
it.
Okay, mono red.
Now why did he call it? I made it my own racist reason for mono red, but I'm pretty sure that as I think about it, it has to be the reason. It has to be the reason that these red heroes have one black friend, so they're woke. That's why they're woke. Is that the reason? Mago, fucking tell me. I know for a goddamn fact out in Siberia, that's the reason, because that's why it's called woke, because they have the one black friend.
Right, is there any other reason that you guys find it to be good? I mean, obviously PA's there to gank the green heroes against ramp. It's kind of teched against red-green ramp for the most part, right?
I would say it's still an unfavorable matchup against red-green ramp overall. Mono red is a deck that is better against red-green ramp in most matchups, but in that matchup, mono red versus red-green ramp, it's like pretty unfavored. I would say it's like 40%. So he kind of puts it there to counterbalance that. I think it's still very slightly unfavored against, but it kind of evens the field.
Okay.
I don't know. The thing is, with black as a color, you realize you're basically only playing it for like two reasons, right? It's like gang and then like Tyler Estate Sensor. So it's like, you know, why even run more than one black hero?
Right. Okay. And then again, want to finish up the decks. Let's talk about red green ramp just a little bit. Start with Charmer on this one. We see, I mean, for the most part, very similar lists. We don't need to go over each, you know, discrepancy between, I mean, they really, we just want to talk about that second green hero. We saw Abaddon win because of a Phodic Shield. We saw Omni Knight because of his body. We saw my personal favorite Darkseer that Swim originally brought and then removed immediately. I absolutely love the idea of surging these Time of Triumph heroes. Like, you get this, you overwhelm a lane, you get Time of Triumph off, then you move them off. It sounds really cool. We'll talk about why you took that out in a minute. And then, of course, the Drow Ranger, which you ended up going with in the playoffs. So, Charmer, which variation was your favorite and why?
My personal favorite is Drow, actually. I know that Swim didn't, you know, make it to the end, sadly, with his version, but when you're looking for an edge in what we saw from the first day, right? From the field, Drow, I think, at least, even if you never get the full value of it, making players play around Drow is really important in my mind. The fact that Gust costs 4, and so it's online when people are trying to do their turn 2 Time of Triumph, and they have to suddenly like think about, does my opponent have Gust, is a big deal. If you're worried about running into the blue-green Silimane Storm decks, and you can interrupt them as well, I think that's a big deal. So even though we didn't get to see it to, in my opinion, its full potential, I think that just including the hero is enough to throw a wrench in people's game plans to buy you a little bit of time or make them second guess themselves. So I thought that it was a very good read by Swim, in my opinion, from seeing what was in the group stages and trying to bring something new to the field.
Okay, Rob, what do you?
And it hurts me to say that because it sounds like I'm sucking his dick, but no, I actually.
Is that what it sounds like? Wow,
you were. It would be a lot more muffled.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you'd be like, I love it, Brian. It's really good.
This was the host of the We Play Tournament, by the way. Just throwing
out there. This is why they hire us for this bullshit, right?
Rob, which red green did you like?
So, in a field where people don't know it's coming, obviously Drow is very good, being able, just all the same things that Charmer said, and these metagame calls are very important to me because I like seeing that people are attentive to what's going on, and there's going to be this maybe a movement towards 3 green heroes so that you can always gust in every lane so they can't outmaneuver you, but like that also becomes very tough because you want to make sure that you can have red and green heroes in each lane. But I really did appreciate having Darkseer. I really do like the Aphotic Shield. So it's hard to say between like Abaddon. Is that really the answer? It's possible that that could just be the answer instead of Drow. But
Swim's face just...
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Disgusting.
So I can't
one thing
speak
I will
to
say,
it.
What did I do?
The one
you went like
I
this. As soon as I said something,
you're
like...
Well, he was reacting to the Abaddon, which we're going to get to his opinion on this. It's probably going to be juicy, I'm sure. The Drow Ranger is interesting because obviously it was nerfed, but you don't have to run enough magic as a result, right? You don't,
right.
At least not as many. I don't remember if you ran any enough magics in that deck at all.
That card blows.
It kind of just.
Oh,
right,
whoa,
that's the old Swim that I'm used to hearing. the hipster, if you will.
Well, okay. I will it. Say, I mean, Hyped was running 3.
Mm.
The card's great. That's why.
Card's great.
So you're saying Hyped lost because he had 3 enough magics.
I'm saying it certainly wasn't helping. So when I say the card blows, it's kind of like how I say Bolt of Damocles blows. Like, there's nothing wrong with running 1, maybe 2. You know, like Mago's deck ran 1. And I think 1 enough magic is a solid choice, sure. But it's it's a little overhyped right now.
Really?
We weren't sold on 3 the entire time. We all discussed about
dude, enough
2.
Magic, it really felt like the MVP for me. I'm a pleb though. It felt so good. So good in a lot of these games. But maybe it's different from a player perspective because you don't get to see the hands either, right?
Exactly.
So it is a little bit different. Which variation did you like the most? Is it the Drow that you ended up with at the end? You think that's
me?
The right call? Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, I'm with Charmer. I think the Drow is probably the right choice in the end. I don't know. Okay. You guys might remember my game versus Mago that I lost, and there was this one situation where if I was running Darkseer instead of Drow and I could surge out, I actually would have won that game. And you can look at that and you can say Darkseer is better, but I think that's like hindsight bias. Like,
I mean, Darkseer, I really like the synergy. The problem is you are stuck with 3 cards that just they're not good.
Yeah,
that's the
other thing.
Right?
Like in the groups, the Ion Shell peaked. Like Sun's fan, you were casting the game where I Ion Shelled 3 creeps, and it actually got ridiculous value. And I was like, I can never top this. So
we said the same thing.
Yeah,
we said the same thing. We were like, this is the best, most action I've ever seen Ion Shell get ever. Like this was the action that Ion Shell paid for. Like this was, but obviously it never happened again because that's
if you think about it, that's a signature card. And that's the best use you're going to get out of it, you know? That's
right.
It is kind of sad.
Trash.
Yeah. And of course, in my match against Petrify in the top 8, I believe it was, like, I kind of drew the nuts in the ramp versus mirror. Like, I went off on turn 2,
you
I think.
Kind of did? You were doing this the whole time.
It wasn't even the nuts. We called it the nut sack. It was that good.
The nut sack.
That was the tea bag.
No. Against Petrify, I did start teabagging him a little bit. But basically, he was in a situation where I went off when he had green on the board and ion shell in his. So if he hadn't net decked my Darkseer and if he had just run Drow instead, he actually would have stopped me from going off. In
Man,
summation,
must be Darkseer, hard. Doesn't Darkseer is like trash.
Don't run Darkseer.
I love Darkseer. Fun hero. All right, so that is the end of our tournament talk, at least. We'll finish up with one more segment.
Wait.
I just want to, by all means.
There is one more thing that I need.
Hey,
first of all,
thanks for joining us.
First of all, you bastards, I still hear Charmer in my dreams. If you guys don't know, off air, nonstop, it's just them in their accent saying Charmer over and over and over again for like the entire 6 days. But I feel like there's something else that's really important that's tournament related that needs to be mentioned, which is that some people received pies and there was one person that was clean at the end.
Oh, that was the worst reverse sweep of all time because I talk so much shit. He was 0-4. And I was like, guys, get the graphics ready because Charmer's fucked. He can't win. Just get the graphics ready that he's going to take this pie. And sure as shit, I lost every fucking match from there. Like,
so for those that
and
have
he
no
had the exact
idea,
opposite.
For those that have no idea what we're talking about, we basically did a fantasy prediction for each respective round of the playoffs. Loser gets pied in the face by the winner. Now, there was a translation issue with the guys that we play. They were hard cakes. They were not pies. They were quite solid cakes. They hurt a little bit.
That's why I put my phone on it and like I put a cup on it to show you the cake didn't even move like a bit.
That was a little bit of an aggressive, but that's okay. It ended up working out. So that was a lot of fun. Big shout out to WePlay as we wrap up this discussion. They did an amazing job. I really like the idea of this casual atmosphere. I mean, you guys know me. That's kind of my style anyway. So I thought it worked really well. The community had good reception, obviously. And I think they're doing Gaben's work right now. You know, God's work, in other words. So thought it was really good. Okay, so thing I want to finish up with is a little discussion about the current meta is very red green heavy. Do you each of you have any ideas on things that you would like to see changed? Perhaps, maybe small tweaks, maybe nothing. We'll start with Charmer.
That's a good question because I go back and forth on this a lot. Like on the one hand, I really feel like long-term there might be problems with Stars Align just because there was problems with Dark Ritual and there's been problems with similar cards in just about every other game that it's existed. But I think that at least this early in Artifact's life cycle, it might be a bit hasty to do anything about it simply because we're like a set away from getting an influx of cards, and right now we're just utilizing the base set. And if you guys are not familiar, or if this is your first card game, maybe you're coming from Dota, your base set is supposed to be the most boring and bland set like ever created. It teaches you the very basics of how to play the card game. It sets the rules and the stage and the foundation. And then typically every other set thereafter does one of two things. It either introduces new rules or it produces cards that break the existing rules in interesting and new and fun ways. So right now things probably do feel pretty repetitive and redundant and boring, but that's normal for a card game and kind of by design. And I think that there's plenty of places that we can go. Like for example, Stars Align is a problem right now because of like realistically Time of Triumph. If you go Stars Align into Emissary, there's at least some meaningful counterplay in like the form of Annihilation. Granted, it locks you to one color, but at least it exists.
Aphotic Shield Charmer.
Well, I'm getting here.
Yeah, Charmer. What about Abaddon?
Here's the thing. I'm getting to that, right? So the difference though is that with Time of Triumph and the core mechanics based around heroes, like you can delay or you can stall, or you can even get marginal value back by playing something like Aphotic Shield, but regardless, you have to dump more resources typically in than the person who played Time of Triumph, and so you're operating at a tempo loss. Now, normally in card games, if somebody takes a risk to pull off some big combo like this, meaning, you know, Stars Align, Time of Triumph, so they're spending three cards to do this big thing, there's usually a risk involved, right? where your opponent can counter it with some sort of effect and then put them at a tempo loss, it makes it high risk, high reward. Time of Triumph off of this is not a high risk, high reward thing. It's a pretty low risk, high reward action. And that's simply because we don't have good purge effects in the game, right? There's nothing that says like purge everything in a lane, purge all enemy units, whatever the case may be. So like when you start thinking about future sets, like I don't want my concern is, because I don't know what the roadmap is, I don't know how far away or how soon a new set is coming, but my concern would be making a bunch of changes to the base set that's supposed to be kind of bland and foundational, and then having the next set come out and it feel lackluster because it was supposed to address some of these things or introduce newer interesting interactions that are just too little too late at that point, right? Like a purge everything in a lane effect isn't going to feel nearly as cool if people aren't turn two Time of Triumphing. You're going to be like, oh, well, yeah, I wish I had that back then.
If
so,
you add more modified effects on top of that, though, right? It could be really
Yeah, I mean, there's room, but I guess I just, for me, it's really, I go back and forth, right? Because I don't want to see this for a long time, and I don't know what the roadmap is like. So, like, if I knew a new set was coming in a month or two, I would say I don't want to see any changes. If I know that the next set is, you know, 4 to 6 months away, then I would say, like, okay, we probably should do something. But that unknown makes it really hard for me to commit one way or the other. So,
okay.
But Stars Align for me is like the only thing that stands out as a potential problem. The other ones I think are fine.
It's time for Oracle or a Shadow Demon. One of those heroes with mass purge. Ooh, delicious. Rob, what would you change?
For me as a business guy, I think that we're just missing out on an opportunity for, on the tournament side, I believe that the in-tournament client should have a way to fund it so that people could put in money to the tournament client. It would run its course at the end of the, it would pay out automatically, and you could have these built-in money tournaments inside the client. Valve takes their rake and we go about our day. I think there's a really big opportunity to be able to earn money that way and for people to run more tournaments like that.
Isn't the problem with that Steam money?
I don't know. I'm just obviously, you know, putting your money into the Steam client sucks, right? But what I'm saying is I believe that there's got to be a way to do this, and it doesn't necessarily have to be in an ideal world. It wouldn't be in Steam bucks. There would be a way to cash out somehow only from the tournament side of it. Not like you could pick a payout at the end of the tournament and do it that way with a rake going to Valve. And I think that could be a monstrous opportunity, especially. I mean,
they can kind of combine the Steam Bucks idea, or like the marketplace, sorry, not the Steam Buck, the marketplace idea with the workshop. I don't know if you're familiar with Dota's workshop, where mm-hmm. the artists get money for creating stuff that's put in the game. Obviously you can do that exact mm-hmm. thing in Artifact, or you can kind of transition that into kind of a hybrid model with tournaments like you're talking about. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, so I think that there's opportunities there, and I also think that we've got to figure out some way for casual people to have fun. It's hard because every game of Artifact can be difficult. It's mentally taxing, and there's got to be some variation of Artifact, some kind of mod that's out there where people just have fun playing, like it's mindless Artifact playing somehow. And I think that's going to end up being the secret sauce of getting players back. It's like in Magic, you can play EDH and it's just fun. It's just, you don't have to be good at the game. You don't have to do too much thinking about it. You can have these really weird strategies and have a good time. And I think Dota Chess is showing that same deal. Like you can just have like mindless kind of behavior and have a good time with it. And Artifact needs something like that to get the casuals in. StarCraft 2 had that. So the model is there. It's just a matter of how do we create something that's just pure fun with Artifact and let those people really appreciate the mastery that comes from people like Swim and people like Hyped when they play the game, because not everybody can do that kind of stuff. Like I can't think of all the different lines that these guys who are putting in 40 plus hours a week can think of. So, and I need somewhere for me where I can be a complete pleb dumbass and burn 2 or 3 hours and not feel exhausted afterwards playing Artifact.
Right. Yeah. I think having game modes and adding like a blitz fast mode or something, there's a lot of stuff they can do. And I'm not super worried about them implementing that at some point. Swim, you okay, buddy?
Yeah, you're all right, buddy.
Yeah, dude. Sorry. I just like, you said I was like a genius player or whatever you said. And I was like,
all right, Swim, the idiotic player. What would you
Swim,
change
the big
about
fucking
the game?
So what I would change about the game. I think Charmer identified correctly that ramp is a bit of an issue. I think it's debatable which aspect of ramp they could change. I could see an argument towards, for example, time of trial, which even outside of the ramp matchup is a pretty anticlimactic feature. It's actually incredibly anticlimactic. Like the idea of like, I'm going to buff my guys and then it turns it into literal go fish. Like you have the answer or I press spacebar and you get smashed and lose the game, right? Like it's not an exciting finisher in the way that even something like Enough Magic and Bolt of Damocles, which could be more exciting finishers, they're, you know, at least on the level, right? Feels just very anticlimactic, I would say. I think something important to note with ramp, kind of how it works with other card games, it's very important for card games to have some amount of RNG, right? Like you need to have game states be different to keep the game interesting and to force players to adapt to different situations. But Artifact's fundamentals kind of trivialize the necessity for ramp, by which I mean like the idea of combo specific and draw specific deck strategies. You know, you already have so much RNG in Artifact's core fundamentals that it doesn't translate in the same way it does in other games. Because the whole point of like these ramp strategies and something like Hearthstone is it creates divergent play patterns. It allows for like, oh, this game plays out differently based on whether they draw their cards or not. But you kind of already have that with Artifact, so you're just kind of creating unnecessary too much RNG, okay. I would say.
Yeah, I think in terms of I mean, you guys touched on a lot of stuff that I would have gone over as well. If I'm doing slight tweaks to balance, because again, I'm not super worried about like the features that they end up adding, because I'm pretty confident that I don't know what the time frame is going to be, but they're going to come out with a lot of the stuff that we're asking for anyway. In terms of like these small balance patches, though, I think they actually will help a lot, kind of keep the current player base interested to some degree. Slight variations to duel, maybe making it from 2 to 3 mana. I don't see why it's even 2 mana to begin with, honestly, because that hero's just played in literally every deck. Darkseer, yeah. 3 mana Ion Shell. Is there a reason it's 4 mana? You should be able to play it turn 1. That could be okay, you know?
It could cost
you
want
to use on heroes a little more. I mean, sure. 1 mana Ion Shell. Why not? But yeah, like all the features you guys are talking about, the thing I want most, I think, is what most people want. I want Valve to come out and say what they're doing, because it's getting to that point where I think their post said there's going to be an update in January, so we're assuming it could be today for all we know, right?
Sounds fan. They're in this for the long haul. No, okay.
I realize that, and I think whenever they come out with this update, which is supposedly this month, I think that's the time to come out with this blog post saying what actually is going to happen down the road. Transparency, you know, the community is begging for it at this point. So yeah, that just about does it, friends. Do you guys have any final words?
Rob.
Please.
I just wanted to say actually something to consider a little bit. I think that your instincts are actually usually on point when it comes to these tournament things. Like you understand the fundamentals very well. I would say it's really important, not just for you, but for a lot of like people that are watching these tournaments. The difference between like a good deck or good card or good strategy and a bad one is the difference of something like a 10% win rate swing. Like if something gives you like a -2% win rate, it's a bad card, right? And when you look at it under that framework, and like a bad deck, like even the worst deck, like not literally the worst deck, but a very bad deck, still going to have like a 40%, you know, and a very good deck is still going to have like a 55 or 60% one. And when you kind of look at it like that, I think that a lot of these, like, you know, some players that do very well with decks that look bad, or some players that do very poorly with decks that look good, I think you just got to trust your instincts more, son, because you're usually right. And I see you kind of second guessing yourself a lot. Like,
what is this in reference to? I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, no, I just in conversations with you, you're like, oh, these decks, they're performing so well. Maybe there's something I don't know.
Well, so this is okay. So I'm just gonna go
or
on.
Are you just being nice?
No. It's a mixture, because obviously this is a new genre, so maybe I'm not as comfortable as talking about as other people like yourselves. But also, I come from Dota, where you will literally get chastised for saying something negative about a player, because they'll come to you and say, hey, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, yeah. Bro. There's something that you don't understand deep down inside that I was thinking. There's no way you could know. So just shut up. I'm like, sorry, that's my job, is to talk. You know, that's just the way it is. So maybe it's a little bit of that coming in from Dota, but I understand what you're saying. And I appreciate it, Swim. I really do. What a good, clean boy you are. Rob, any? Okay, maybe not clean. Maybe not clean.
I was gonna say, I don't know about clean. That's
out of all of the adjectives you could have chosen in the English language.
Yeah, you could have chosen some in the Ukrainian language, and you would have been better. But clean, interesting. So that's
here's my bed right here. Right.
Oh my God! Right, what is that stain?
What the fuck is that, dude? You don't even have a sheet on your bed.
Yeah, where
that's
is
correct.
The sheet?
You have all your electronics. Don't you have like a desk next to you or something to put shit on?
He hasn't put it back together since the Ukrainian investigators left.
I've got a desk, all right. Or you want to see my desk?
Oh my God!
A toilet paper roll. Why? What have you people? This is not how you advertise for a roommate, Swim. Okay.
Right?
Is this your king?
After seeing his desk at the first WePlay event, though, are you even surprised? Like, even a little bit? Are you even
You saw
surprised?
My desk at WePlay.
Don't you use tissue paper like a normal human being? Why toilet paper? It's rougher.
Yeah, but it cleans your nose better.
It cleans your nuts better? Is that what you just said? No, that toilet paper cleans your nuts.
No,
he said nose.
All right, moving on past the hygiene of Swim, which I can't get over. You actually remind me so much of myself when I was in my early 20s. Rob, that's not a compliment, by the way. Swim, Rob.
Jesus. Well, I feel like I'm back in the studio again with you guys, and it's way off the deep end. But I'm really excited for the future, what we have going on. I think this next tournament from WePlay, they really want to do even better than they did last time. And show the community and show sponsors, show Valve that there's a lot of possibility here in this game when it's done correctly. And I'm hoping that if I don't know who's going to be there in Kiev this time or whatever, but that whoever is there takes up that mantle and runs with it and really takes it even more to the limit than we did previously and show people that this is an exciting game that has exciting moments and that RNG is kind of key to that, and especially in card games. And we get to learn from what Magic made mistakes from. We get to learn from all these other card games when it comes to how we present the game. So as long as we're in it for the long haul, we can hopefully see what Valve comes, because Valve has to come through for us at this point. We can't, you know, WePlay's on the hook maybe for one more tournament, and if the numbers still look bad, who knows if they do another one, right? So, that's all we can hope is just keep playing and put our best foot forward as casters and people in the community. And that's all I ask for people.
Charmer?
Charm.
Picture that for us.
Seriously, man, what the fuck?
Take it away, Charmer.
Charmer.
Listen, this is what I'm going to say. I'm going to put Suns fan publicly on the spot.
Uh-oh.
Which is not if.
Unchained.
Not if, but when.
Rat.
We go back to Kiev. I had better see Suns fan in a karaoke bar at 3 a.m. with the rest of us. Like he belongs there. Like he deserves to be there.
Old man. Actually, you guys are older than me somehow.
We're both exactly older.
All right, let me rephrase that. I feel like an older man than I am. I feel like I'm 80.
You have no kids.
After I'm done casting, I mean, the cats are a lot of work, guys.
Oh, right? Cats. Yeah, those are the exact same as humans.
Basically the same thing. All right? I have to clean the kitty litter. Sometimes it's real bad. All right, it's real
Charmer,
bad.
The kitty litter, but the kitty litter.
Yeah, but the kitty litter. What do they do, like knock something off your counter every now and then?
Every so often they fight over who's the king of the
hill.
Oh,
no.
I know. Hard life. And he has a wonderful person who he lives with that also takes care of
yeah
to help him
so anyway
yes it's all me
anyway
that's what I expect because like I know that we're all gonna have a great show. I think that this one, if I'm just being honest, was significantly better than the first one. I think WePlay, like I said at the start of this podcast, did a great job of listening to feedback. It shows that they really want this to be a success. I think that everybody involved wants it to be a success, and I'm really looking forward to it. I'm hoping that somewhere between now and then, Valve will listen to our feedback, kind of, you know, at a minimum, lay out a roadmap, even if they're not taking direct action, let us know what's coming. But I'm looking forward to going back, and I'm looking forward to
you know, the future of Artifact one way or the other. So
yeah, sounds good, buddy. Sounds good. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, guys. Charmer. I will close with just Christ. We Play Again. It was amazing, as always. Better than last time, like Charmer just said. I think the whole idea, because me coming into a new scene from Dota, the whole idea of casual casting, which is kind of my deal, I wasn't sure how it would translate, because sometimes in Dota, I can go over the line. It can be too casual, and people, like if I cast with Slacks, for example, in Dota, people get angry, legitimately. Not saying that didn't happen this time, but I was pleased by the idea of us actually being able to cast together, which was super fun. The idea of casual casting in general in card games, now that I've done it, it just feels better than with Dota, you know? And obviously you do have to have some sort of mix, some sort of balance, which, you know, we will get to at some point. Slacks just needs to get back on the level because he didn't even show up to this. We can just talk as much shit as we want, right? And then in yes. terms of the future of Artifact, obviously people are kind of worried about the dwindling users or player base, I should call it, and maybe Valve not talking as much right now. So I will say, and we've said this, we've all agreed to this on some level before, at least we've talked about it privately, the idea of obviously Valve just being a little bit more transparent would be nice. I think with a healthy dose of the balance updates, which I think are going to be amazing, even if they're just small little tweaks every now and then, if you add that up with the new features that people are asking for, on top of expansions, which is almost like a re-release of the game, and then everybody's talking about free-to-play, which obviously you don't want to come out with free-to-play with the game in its current state, at least. It doesn't really do anything, I feel like. But in combination with all the stuff that we just talked about, in addition to coming out with like something mobile and the free-to-play at the same time, that's like, if you get all that stuff done, I am not worried about this game. Off to a rocky start, though. Let's not kid ourselves. Slim, Rob, Charmer, it's been a real treat as always, friends. Thanks for joining us, everybody watching. Until next time, goodbye. Until next month when we do the next episode.
Until next month, right? Goodbye. 3 weeks from now.
Goodbye.